Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimesinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And we are continuing our series on spiritual deception and spiritual discernment, particularly for those in the ministry. And today we'll be looking at the topic of spiritual deception, how we can figure out where we're being conned by false prophets, false teachers, false pastors, and all the rest. So tune in for this fascinating topic. And before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you will anoint your word with power and wisdom and grace. Open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that we might understand wonders from your holy word. Okay, the first passage we're going to look at today is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. And it says, "Beware of false prophets." And that's something we've got to do. We've got to be very cautious. They are around. We've got to be on our guard against them. Okay, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And I kind of disagree with the translation of diseased and healthy. It says any bad tree. It is an evil tree. They're talking about poneros, evil trees. And there are evil trees planted in the garden of God. They'd be planted there by the devil. There are evil wheat, evil tares planted among God's wheat. There are people that are just plain nasty, toxic and controlling. And how do we discern them? We discern them by their fruits. What's the outcome? What do they do to people? Do they make them work for them for free? Do they take control of their mind, their heart and their family? Do they control everything about people's lives? If someone says, "Oh no, when you join our church, you have to no longer see your relatives," or "When you join our church, you have to cut off all those associations. If you join our church, you have to stop this, stop that," and they control your feelings, your emotions, your behavior, your access to information. If they start controlling every aspect of your life and you suddenly see the pastor's got this big flash car or this fancy Rolex watch or things like that, and the congregation are not doing well at all. The congregation are just hoping that God sends them a blessing, and no blessings arriving, and the people's lives are all messed up, and the pastor is running around with strange women and doing this and doing that, or behaving in obscene ways, or doing strange things with the parishioners, then you know that's bad fruits. What are the good fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. They're the good fruits. And if the pastor is showing those, or the congregation is showing those, and they're all growing together, then that's good. That's a healthy church. They love one another. They love the Bible. They love the Lord. But if the congregation is all sorts of strange things going on, and it's fanatical and it's bizarre, then you can say, "Oh dear, this doesn't smell right. This doesn't look good. Something strange and evil is going on here. These poor people, they're being exploited. They're being trapped." And because the pastor, the preacher, the false prophet, the apostle, whoever, is actually just devouring them. He's taking their money. He's taking their relationships. He might be sleeping with some women or even with men in the congregation. And we know, oh, this is wrong. This is not a good thing. So you've got to look and say, what's the outcome? What's the fruit? Is this working, or is this really just strange? And you have some pastors who behave in strange ways. They ride around on the back of their parishioners. They have bodyguards, or they have strange things happening during the services. And you think, This doesn't sound right. This isn't what the God of order would do. So you've got to look, what's the fruit? What's their life? What's the behavior? What's the outcome? Do they have any criminal associations? Are they involved with corrupt and dangerous people? Are they involved with corrupt politicians? What's going on? Are they greedy? Just be careful. Be careful about the people that you listen to. The next Bible verse is a continuation of that. Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So here are these people running around doing mighty miracles and prophesying and doing all these signs and wonders, but actually they're from the devil. And in the next broadcast, we'll learn all about that, the false miracles in the end times. Now, I'm a charismatic Pentecostal. I do believe in speaking in tongues. I do believe in exorcism. I do believe in healing. I do believe in miracles. But I also believe there's counterfeits out there. There's occult counterfeits to these things. And there are some people doing mighty works, but they're not proclaiming the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. They're fake. They're full of lawlessness, and their lives are full of sexual fornication, or their lives are full of greed and adultery, or they're sensual. They drag people into the sensuality of the things they do. They're very worldly in the way they live. They're not sanctified. They're not set apart. They're not living the holy life that we expect of Christian believers, and which is outlined particularly by the Apostle Paul and his expectations of people to live a holy and blameless life in the love of God. So if the person is doing all these signs and wonders and miracles, but they're not living a holy life, they're living anything but a holy life, then you need to be very, very suspicious of what they're saying and what they're doing. So look at these false miracle workers, and we'll do a lot more on that in the last one. Say, are they really adding up? Are they really doing the right thing the right way? And it says here that the one God wants is the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, what's the will of God? Back in the last series on the one another commands, love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, instruct one another, that's the will of God. God's will is that you love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're unloving, if you're angry, if you're bitter, okay, that's outside of the will of God. And it's outside of the will of God for these people to be greedy and to be exploiting the congregation. So you've got to look at them. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ calls them workers of iniquity. These false apostles, false prophets, etc., they're not doing God's will. They're doing their own will, and they're doing the will of the devil. They're tricking people, and they're exploiting people. So you've got to be very careful about who you listen to. You've got to watch them, and maybe they're a fake. Maybe they're doing fake miracles even. Maybe they're using juju or magic or the occult to do these things instead of they're not really plugged into God. They're not talking about Jesus. They're not talking about holiness. They're not talking about the Bible. They're doing fake miracles. So we have to be very cautious. And the next Bible verse we're looking at is Matthew 24. And it starts off, and Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." Whoa, that's powerful. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to the 12. He's talking to the apostles. He's saying, do not be led astray. And he's talking to the top people in the Christian church, because deception can lay hold of any of us, all of us. Spiritual deception is very powerful. The devil is very cunning. He wants to lead you astray from the faith. So here in the end times dialogue, here in end times, this thing of Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, he's up there and he's on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to the disciples directly about what the end times are going to be like, and many false prophets and false Christs will appear. And he's warning even the apostles. He's warning the apostles not to be led astray. Let's look at this fascinating passage. Do not be led astray. And Jesus answers them, and he says, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you'll hear of wars," and just let's pause there, many astray, right? And you go back to the last one in Matthew, it says, many will come to me on that day. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? This is a lot of people. The word many in both of these verses means a majority, a large number, an overwhelming number of people will come and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these miracles on your name in this case? And then in Matthew 24, they'll be saying, oh, but we believe this person, we believe that. They were led astray. Many, not just one or two people, many people, maybe even a majority of the Christian world, will be led astray by the end times deceptions. And we're seeing this with the prosperity gospel in Africa and around the world. It is leading many astray. False signs, false wonders, greed and sensuality. Many Christians are being led away from the purity of the faith, and not just one or two. It is very compelling. It plays to our deepest instincts and needs for survival. And many, many people are being led astray. It says, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And at the moment, Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan, all the rest, they're all boiling away. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. So there's going to be a huge apostasy. This word many means a majority. The majority of the Christian church will abandon Christ, fall away and betray one another and hate one another because of social pressure. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Many, many, many fall away, many false prophets, many led astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will go cold, because sin kills love. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And so we're close to the gospel being proclaimed to all nations. We've been working at it for 2,000 years, and the gospel's gone out to a large chunk of the world. But let's go back to this deception. The level of deception that's going to come is in this last time. Many get led astray. Many false prophets arrive. Many betray one another and hate one another. And many are judged on judgment day. And in previous verse, and he says, will be cast into the lake of fire, saying, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. This is not a small problem, it's a big problem. Spiritual deception is a huge problem that's affecting the church now and will affect the church even more as we head into the tribulation, as we head into the end times, as we head towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is at work. He's very hard at work, sending out demons to deceive people and cause the church all sorts of trouble. And one of the big problems in this thing and the previous thing is the spirit of lawlessness. The spirit of lawlessness wants us to rebel against the commandments of God, particularly in the sexual area. It says, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to wait till marriage. You just go ahead and have sex now. Or go have sex with your neighbor, or go have sex with this person or that person. And it leads people into fornication, into adultery, and all kinds of sexual lifestyles that God hates. And people want sexual freedom. They want to just sleep with whoever they want. That's part of base, sinful human nature. And they want to be greedy, and they want to accumulate things for themselves, and they want to be selfish. And eventually the love of many will grow cold. Their love comes to nothing. They become selfish, hard-hearted, cold people. And we see a lot of that in the United States here, where love has just vanished, and our parents hate children, and children hate parents, and brothers hate sisters, and sisters hate brothers. The love of many has grown cold because they're pursuing their own destiny. They're pursuing their own way through life. They have been deceived of the devil. And spirits of lawlessness are raging through the United States at the moment. People don't want to obey God. They don't want to obey their parents. They don't want to obey society. They want to have their own way no matter what. And if you point out something sensible for them to do, like we're in the middle of COVID, wear a mask, get vaccinated, they say, no, 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 I won't do that. And they've got all these excuses why they want to be lawless and they want to be running around doing their own thing. And recently I went into a little store. I'm out in a rural area, went into a little gun store here. And in that gun store, they had all these rebel flags, these Confederate flags, and all these angry looking men going around buying guns. And they refused to serve me because I was wearing a mask, and I was, because we're in the middle of COVID here and I'm older. And they refused to serve me, and they were obviously very angry, lawless people accumulating weapons for themselves in the spirit of lawlessness. The spirit of lawlessness had got hold of them. They had no intention of ever obeying the government. They were going to resist the government. They were full of lawlessness, and they were very, it was very scary. I wasn't there for very long, but they were obviously not loving people. They were obviously very angry people, because the spirit of lawlessness had laid hold of them. And the spirit of lawlessness takes many forms. You'll find that in people with extreme sexual lifestyles who want to go and pursue the extreme sexual lifestyles. They will hate Christians. They will hate anything to do with God. I'm going to do this my way. And the spirit of lawlessness rebels against every kind of commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the most reasonable ones. And it puts stinginess, it puts anger, it puts rebellion. And this spirit of lawlessness is creeping in everywhere, into spiritual deception, into churches everywhere. And Satan is trying to drag believers out of the Holy Spirit, out of sanctification, and into all kinds of sin, financial sin, sexual sin, aggression, murder, rape, all kinds of things. The devil is trying to say all these things are okay because you've got to have it your way. And that's the spirit of lawlessness. And it's very, very dangerous. Okay, let's go along a little bit further in Matthew chapter 24. Let's have a look at what it says here. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And remember, he's talking to the apostles here. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. And so what Jesus is saying is that the end times will be very sudden. They'll be very bright. They will not be, oh, you have to go over here or over there. They will be obvious. And all these false Christs, these false messiahs and false prophets, they make false claims about themselves. They say, aha, over here, that's where the new messiah is. He's in Timbuktu, he's in Jakarta, he's in New York, wherever. And they make claims that you've got to go to this ashram, you've got to go to this person, you've got to join this community and follow this false Christ and this false messiah. And people get sucked into these false religions, and you can't budge them out of it. They get very much dragged into it. I've got a dear friend at the moment who seems to be sucked into one particular group in Texas. And you cannot persuade this person that this group is wrong. And if you start doing it, they don't even see it. They've been spiritually deceived by a group that is not following the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when someone says the Messiah is here, or the great teacher is there, or the prophets over there, do not believe them. Wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and stick with the Bible. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me from your Bible whether this is true or whether this is false. And God will show you who the false teachers are. The Holy Spirit will tell you. If you've ever, as a new Christian, you picked up something from the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, and the Holy Spirit was almost like an electric shock, says, put that down. That's no good. That's junk. Don't deal with that. And the Holy Spirit will warn you of these people. And you have to listen to God, and you have to run away from sin, and you have to run away from deception. And deception is powerful. It says, to lead astray, even if possible, the elect. So these false signs, these false wonders, which we'll talk about in the next broadcast, will be so powerful. The deception will be so great, and the pressure of 666 and the mark of the beast and everything will be so great. Remember, in the book of Revelation, one of the three, you have the beast and the false prophet. And the false prophet goes around getting people to, you have the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. So the dragon empowers the beast, and the false prophet is the one that points to the beast and says, this is the real Messiah. This is, go and worship him. Go and worship the image of the beast, which is set up in Babylon, or whatever Babylon is like back then, or rather ahead. And the false prophet gets everyone to take the mark of the beast, the 666, and the beast is forcing everyone to take the mark there. And Revelation 14, it says that you go to hell, you burn in a lake of fire if you take the mark of the beast. You must not do that. But the deception will be so powerful, that small and great and everybody is forced into this mark of the beast. It will be a powerful deception. We will have to resist it, and it will even threaten mature Christians. It will threaten the elect, but the elect will survive because God will send angels to help them to resist the mark of the beast and resist these powerful end times deceptions. So you have to be prepared for powerful pressure, persecution, deception, lies, false miracles, and you have to go and say, Lord, is this of you? Lord, is this of you? And let's go to the last verse we're going to be looking at today, a verse about false apostles, and we'll come back to it a couple of times in this series. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. And so you have these very deceptive people going out, even as false apostles, not just false teachers, but they're going out, they're creating movements after themselves in their name, just like apostles do. But these are satanic movements, they're deceptive movements. They're apostles, but they're not apostles. They're not apostles of Christ. They say they're of Christ, but in fact they're of the devil. And it says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So when the devil appears, he doesn't appear to people with a horn and tails. He appears to them as enlightenment. He appears to them as an angel of light. And we know that one major religion was founded by someone who an angel of light appeared to and started dictating things to her. This person wrote it down, and a major religion was established as a result. And many people have claimed that an angel has appeared to them with golden tablets or this or that, and then no sign of the golden tablets, no sign of the angel. But these people were deceived. Angels can appear, but they're false angels. Remember, there's fallen angels and true angels. But the devil disguises himself as an angel of light or a means of enlightenment. He says, you're enlightened now. You don't need to follow all these commandments and the Bible. You're enlightened. You can go off and you can commit adultery, or you can be greedy, or you can learn the ways of the world and become rich. You can cheat people and lie to people. They're all suckers. And he will give you a false feeling of enlightenment, because now you're beyond law, you're beyond all those rules and regulations, and the devil will lead you astray into all sorts of sin and lawlessness and licentiousness, and that's what the devil does. He disguises himself as an angel of light and to lead people astray. So there's powerful spiritual deception going on, and you can be vulnerable, you can be emotionally tired, worn out. You can feel that your marriage or your business is failing, that life isn't good. And just when you're feeling that God has abandoned you, then the devil will turn up with a proposition, an evil proposition. It might be a proposition to commit adultery. It might be to cheat, to lie. It might be to join a religious group that's fake. And the devil will pick you off in your moment of weaknesses, which is why you need to stay in Christian fellowship. So what are we learning today? What are we learning from these five major Bible passages? What we're learning is that we have to be super careful about our walk with God. We have to beware of false teachers. We have to be aware of people who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Outwardly, they look great, but inwardly, their motivation is ravenous. They want to devour the believers. And we saw the wolves in sheep's clothing in Matthew chapter 7. And we said, okay, we have to look at their fruit, whether they're good fruit or bad fruit. The next thing, and continuing down there in Matthew 7, is the workers of iniquity. The people who do false miracles, but they get cast into hell. They're using the name of God in vain because their lives are wicked and they're deceiving people. And they're doing false prophecy and false exorcism and things like that, because they're not doing the will of the Father. They're religious, but they're rebellious against the will of God. Religious, but rebellious. The next part in Matthew 24, as we get into that discourse, it says, see that no one leads you astray. It's your responsibility to not be led astray. You've got to switch your brain on. You've got to switch your mind on. See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. Remember this passage, many astray, many hate, many become cold in their love, and etc., etc. And it tells us, he who endures to the end will be saved. So our job is to be wary, not be led astray, and then to endure to the end. And we've got to realize that Satan is not playing a small game. He's playing a big game. He wants to take every single human being, including the elect, down to hell with him. He wants to take every human being down with him into the lake of fire. Don't be gullible. Don't be sucked into that lake of fire by the devil. So you've got to endure. You've got to wait for the tribulation and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will rescue you from these deceptions. God will send his angels to help you. He'll send the Holy Spirit to help you. So you are not consumed by these overwhelming deceptions. Next passage, continuing in Matthew 24, is he says, don't believe it. Therefore, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, don't believe it. Be skeptical. Don't believe everyone. God tells you, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Look, watch, be careful. Don't believe every single person who claims this or claims that. Be wise. Beware of men. Beware of trickery. And Jesus will come. He will be very obvious, very evident on the last day. And finally, we had that warning about false apostles. There are people out there pretending to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, pretending to be holy, pretending to be good, giving themselves big titles, calling themselves bishops, archbishops, apostles, prophets, whatever. The more titles, the more suspicious. They're calling themselves these mighty things and setting up what appear to be mighty ministries, but there's a smell about it. There's something wrong. They're actually servants of Satan. They're actually serving an angel of light, which is not a true angel of light. It's a false angel of light. It's the devil disguised in that angel of light. And they're disguising themselves as workers of righteousness when they don't do anything righteous at all. They just talk and talk and talk and talk. And they make up big stories and make up big claims and say they've been to heaven or this or that or the other. Always the end is that you can do what you like. You can sin as much as you like because the devil wants you to believe that you can just keep on sinning. And that's not what Jesus says at all. He doesn't want you to be a worker of iniquity. He doesn't want the spirit of lawlessness to lay hold of your life. You must walk righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay close to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Love one another. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Work works of righteousness in the earth and do the good works that God has appointed beforehand for you to do. Remember the test that we saw in 1 John. There's a test of faith in Jesus, that he came in the flesh, that he's risen from the dead, and all those kind of tests, that he's the Son of God, but also the three tests of love, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. Are people walking in love? Are they walking in righteousness or in wickedness? And do they have the presence of the Holy Spirit or of another spirit, a spirit of iniquity? So they're the tests that you need to apply when you're looking at someone on YouTube or someone who's coming to your church. And next week, we'll look a lot more at the issue of false miracles in the end times and the powerful deception that will take over the earth. So this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.